No labels, third party candidates. We're going to talk about RFK in a second, but let's talk about no labels because they were supposed to field a no labels candidacy, a no labels ticket, a unifying ticket. Right.
This is the breaking news here of the afternoon on the third party front, because No Labels just announced that they are not going to go through with this, for the reason being they could not field candidates that they said that they believed could credibly win the White House. For the last year,
nobody wanted to do this.
A great many of them that we know had concerns that they could very well only help Donald Trump by taking and siphoning votes from Joe Biden. You had the likes of Liz Cheney, Chris Sununu. The list was long of folks that turned them down, that were offered this ballot line. They wanted to have one Republican, one Democrat, and yet nobody wanted to go and potentially be the one that was blamed next November for putting Donald Trump in the White House.
Haley Manchin, Hogan in Maryland.
Even William McRaven. I mean, I was told that they were trying to reach out to Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I mean, this list was long, and yet they couldn't find actually any suitors that wanted to throw their name to the ring, even though that ballot line was literally available.
What is The Rock's line? The Rock doesn't smell what you're cooking or something. I guess he didn't. I think that's what it is. Yeah, it is. All right. Rock didn't smell what they were cooking.
Von Hilliard. Expert on The Rock,
Katie. I do love The Rock. Von Hilliard, Von, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the horribly and unfairly treated January 6th hostages.
Former President Donald Trump keeps calling January 6 rioters hostages, demanding their release and accusing the Justice Department of mistreating and abusing them. NBC's Ryan Riley dug into the roughly 1,300 people charged for January 6. More than 900 of them have been convicted. Most of the rest are free as they await trial. But 15 are currently in pretrial detention. In most of those cases, Riley reports judges found overwhelming evidence the defendants were dangerous.
We have stronger election officials and attorneys generals in a number of states. And frankly, we have battle tested lawyers. You know, me and my team, we've been doing this a long time. But the experience of beating Donald Trump 60 plus times after 2020 has taught us a few things about how to approach these things heading into 2024. And that's not just us. That's a lot of lawyers. So I think that we're going to be ready on the voter suppression front. I do want to echo something that Jim said, which is that political violence is something that is fundamentally different, because, you know, voters will show up to vote even if there's some suppression, if they know you're fighting for them. It's a whole other thing if they think that they're going to wind up in the middle of a war zone. And what we saw on January 6th was a clear warning shot by Republicans that they will take it to the next level. They will assault police officers. They will break and enter into government buildings. And I think that that is something that local law enforcement and state and national law enforcement are going to have to really be prepared for.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot on all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Welcome Thursday. Welcome Thursday for April, Year of Our Lord 2024. No Labels announces no takers. They didn't really. It's not about no takers. These phonies only wanted takers that would hit President Trump. They only had people kind of volunteering that would take away from Biden. Later in the show, all the shows they've been going through about how Bobby Kennedy, when he added him to the ticket, and then if you even throw in Cornel West later in Stein. It's devastating to Biden, but particularly Bobby Kennedy. And so all those naysayers out there, oh, Bannon's promoting him, it's going to hurt Trump. You were wrong, dead wrong, as I knew you were dead wrong. But I was too gentlemanly at the time to say anything. You're dead wrong. Unbelievable. They're freaking out. They're taking out, first time they've seen it. In fact, MSNBC's been reporting all day, the Democrats have never laid a glove on third party candidates, have just pretended like they're not there. They're taking out massive ad buys against Bobby Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy now says he's going to be on the ballot in Arizona and Idaho and one other place. I want to say Wisconsin or Michigan. But they're and no labels wouldn't take him. No labels wouldn't take him because they understand that's a dagger to the heart of Biden. So we'll get to all that. So much going on this afternoon. Want to get to Derek Evans. Derek Evans, you're running. You're quite controversial in your run for Congress. You're running from West by God, Virginia, one of the greatest states in this union. Of course, as a Virginian, it kind of hurts me to say that, right? Used to be part of the Old Dominion. You're running in West Virginia 1. Why are you so controversial?
Well, because I'm an outspoken MAGA Trump supporter. Quite frankly, I'm considered controversial because I'm the only elected legislator in the entire country. And when I say that, think about everyone who ran in 2020, ran across the country as they were MAGA, as they were patriots, as they were Trump supporters. When it came time to stand with President Trump on January 6th, I'm the only elected legislator in the entire country who had the courage to go stand with President Trump on January 6th. The deep state came to my house, ripped me away from my family, threw me in prison, held me hostage. And as soon as I got out, I put out a video, I put out a statement and said, you can throw me in prison, you can throw me in solitary confinement, you can drag my name through the mud, but it doesn't change the facts. You guys stole the election, and the real insurrection occurred on November 3rd, 2020. So we all know that the deep state and the fake news media, they do not like outspoken conservatives with backbone. And that's quite frankly why they hate me. And that's why I'm going to be a thorn in their side once I'm elected into Congress.
So it's kind of stunning because we're always hearing about guys still in prison. So many of these J6 guys are still there. Some of them still in D.C. haven't come to trial. Someone just got sentenced the other day. They said it's the biggest manhunt they've ever had in the history of the country, bigger than going after the communists after World War II, going after the KKK, going after the Black Panthers, all the anti-war movement, blowing up buildings, right? This is the biggest ever, the biggest dragnet. How can you possibly be running for Congress? How, because they thought you were a bad guy. They rounded you up. What did they actually charge you with that you're back and you're actually running and you're quite competitive with the person that you're running against who's a sitting member of Congress?
Well, you know, long story short, they charged me with the four basic misdemeanors of trespassing and parading and picketing on Capitol grounds. I got the parading and picketing charge because at one point the crowd was chanting, "We want Trump," and we chanted USA, and I joined in and participated in those chants, and therefore they charged me with parading and picketing on Capitol grounds. And then they bumped that up to the 1512 obstruction of official proceeding, which is a 20-year felony that most people are aware of. President Trump has been charged with that as well. And so I was one of the first people arrested. I was arrested on January 8th, 2021. And so I've served my time. I'm home now, back with my family. Thank God. And I thank God for that every single day. And, you know, instead of, you know, being quiet, instead of stepping down and hiding, I wanted to show the American people that I'm just an average guy from Southern West Virginia. I took one on the chin from the most powerful corrupt government in the history of the world. I had my name dragged through the mud by the most powerful fake news media in the history of the world. I got up, I dusted my britches off. I'm still standing and I'm still fighting to save this country. If I can do that, then anyone can do that. And look, this is an R+23 district. It's an ultra MAGA district. This is Trump country. When the people here, when they remember that I'm the guy that was elected to be a state rep in the state of West Virginia and had the courage to go stand with President Trump, when they make the connection that I'm the same guy, they're coming over and voting for us in droves. We're polling great. We're raising money. And we're really excited where we're at right now.
I remember the moment you were arrested. National TV, it had like you were John Dillinger. At the time, they had you for parading and what? Parading and singing on the Capitol grounds. They had you for 2 minutes. I want you to go back to those misdemeanors because they had, I think, CNN, they had all the media was there. It was literally like you were Machine Gun Kelly that was surrendering. What were the charges that they actually had? Parading and picketing, doing what on the Capitol? They got guys, no offense, they got guys picketing on the Capitol grounds 24 hours a day, it seems like. The war room is right in back of the Capitol. They got folks over there all the time picketing and parading. How could that be a crime?
Well, the difference is I was doing it. Not only was I doing it on behalf of President Trump and the American people, but I was an elected Republican who had the courage to stand up and take a stand with the American people that day. They were tasting blood. They were so mad at President Trump. They were mad at the MAGA movement. and they couldn't get their hands on him at the time. At the time I was the only elected Republican they could get their hands on. And so, yeah, to your point, it was absolutely insane with the media circus surrounding that. BBC flew a crew in from Britain and came to my home in West Virginia and knocked on my door. Media outlets from Ireland and all over the place came to my house in little old West Virginia, wanting interviews. It was something surreal, to say the least. But it just goes to show you the media sensation from the very beginning. They were you know, prepared to paint this false narrative of insurrection.
And correct me if I'm wrong. This other charge they bumped it up to. This is the charge that's actually before the Supreme Court. That if this is overturned, and it's quite controversial. In fact, it's stopping an official proceeding. I mean, nobody's even heard of it. This is the one that's so controversial. What you actually ended up being charged with is what's in front of the Supreme Court about, and potentially could be overturned. And they say like half of the people they've already rounded up, either their sentence will be dramatically reduced or they'll actually walk, because they only added this, according to Julie Kelly, who's been bulletproof on this. They only added this to try to kick these things up to a felony. Is that being litigated now in front of the Supreme Court?
It is. And yes, Julie Kelly is a true patriot. So thankful for her and all the work she's done for people like myself and the January 6th community. But just to give everybody a Cliff Notes version on that. So the obstruction of official proceeding that was created under the, like in the early 2000s, when they had the insider bank trading with like Enron and those sorts of things, what was happening is people were tampering with witnesses. So someone was set to come testify before Congress. People were tampering with those witnesses, either threatening them, bribing them in some way. And so the whole entire code is under the title of tampering with a witness. No one on January 6th tampered with a witness, but the federal government is doing whatever they want to do right now. And so basically anyone that they really wanted to ramp it up with who was nonviolent, they were slapping this charge as a 20-year felony. And then they use that over your head and try to use that as leverage against you. But I want everyone to realize that the weaponization of government is a major issue right now. If what they're doing to President Trump, they can do it to him. They can do it to anyone. They will be coming to a door near you very soon.
No, they've charged President Trump. This is one of the whole issues about half the charges against him are these kind of made up phony charges maybe dropped by the Supreme Court. Did anyone, you were elected Republican official in the Republican Party of West Virginia. West Virginia is a MAGA state. West Virginia is a Trump state. In fact, was it justice flipped from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party to increase his power? Did anybody in the state party or anybody in the national Republican Party come to your assistance at all in those first initial dark days?
No one in the national party. There were a handful here in the state house who was reaching out to me and trying to have my back. But as a whole, no, absolutely not. We have a bunch of spineless jellyback rhinos in D.C. I would say that we all talk about the swamp in D.C. Every state has their own individual swamp. What I call Charleston, which is our capital here in West Virginia, it's a sludge pond, which is a play on the words from the coal sludge from the coal mines. But that's what we're dealing with in West Virginia. Every state has one, and unfortunately, we have a lot of people who love to talk a big game during campaign season, but when it comes time to actually stand up and do something, they're few and far between. And look, that's what I think makes me different than everyone else. I'm not just a January 6th person who decided to run for office. You know, I was already elected. So I know there's been a lot of people come before me who have said, oh, I'm going to do that. Like Crenshaw, for instance. Everybody thought Dan Crenshaw was going to be this MAGA patriot person, and he's just a spineless jellyback rhino as well. And so the difference in myself and others is I've already been elected. I could have sat at home. I could have raised money off of this. I could have done the petition thing or whatever. I chose to go stand with the American people as a state representative, and I'm going to go do the same thing as a member of Congress. I tell everyone, I'm not running to make friends. I'm not running to play patty cake politics. We're in a battle for the future of this country right now. President Trump's going to need some loyal help. I'm running to kick in the front door and expose the corruption in D.C.
Okay, if you can hang through this break, we want to bring you back and talk about the difference between you and your opponent. Gold up at another all-time high today. I think it backed off a bit, some profit-taking, but every day it's bouncing around. It looks like it's trying to set a new floor. We're not here to give you financial advice. We don't give you financial advice, but we do put you in contact with some of the great professionals. I think we've been correct on the macro forces throughout the world, geopolitics, national security, capital markets, debt, government spending throughout the world, the leverage, the $300 trillion the world has, it's kind of leveraged. Like I said, we're going to have the biggest margin call in history. It's coming. How do you protect yourself? How do you hedge yourself? For one thing, is, you know, we talk a lot about history in this show. History shows us for 6, 7, 8,000 years, a hedge against times of turbulence is gold. So go to birchgold.com/Ben and talk to Philip Patrick and the team. Yoram Hazani is going to be with us from Jerusalem in the second hour to talk about some of the turbulence over there. Short commercial break. We're going back to West by. The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year. And then the inflation data came out higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action.
Been trying to warn us to take Trump literally and seriously are doing just that in the case that Trump should be reelected president in November. Members of the January 6th Select Committee, the members of Congress and their staffs who have done more than anyone else to pull the curtain back on Trump's efforts to overturn an election he lost are now bracing for Trump's much promised public promises of retribution should he prevail in November. And his plan is, as we all know, to weaponize the Justice Department and use it to go after all of the people he perceives as political opponents. Former January 6th committee member Zoe Lofgren telling the Los Angeles Times this, quote, if he intends to eliminate our constitutional system and start arresting his political enemies, I guess I would be on that list. One thing I did learn on the committee is to pay attention and listen to what Trump says because he means it. The Los Angeles Times goes on to say this, quote, Lofgren added that she does not yet have a plan in place to thwart potential retribution by Trump, but Representative Adam Schiff, who has long been a burr in Trump's side, said he's having real-time conversations with his staff about how to make sure he stays safe if Trump follows through on his threats. Quote, we're taking this seriously because we have to, Schiff said. We have seen this movie before and how perilous it is to ignore what someone is saying when they say they want to be a dictator. Trump didn't just say he wants to be a dictator just once. He's now said it over and over again in public, in speeches, in front of his supporters, in all sorts of different ways, many, many times.
Okay. I realize for some of you, you can't stand any of that, but we have to do it to frame the narratives they're trying to frame and to shatter them. President, here's what they're worried about. Because all the polling is terrible. The Bobby Kennedy thing, if he gets on the ballot, eats into him. The Jill Stein eats into him. Cornel West, pay attention to Dr. West, eats into him. They can't pull their coalition together. They can't talk about Bidenomics. The wars are all out of control. They're still trying to fund. We're going to talk more about that in a second, particularly Ukraine. So they can't pull it together. And President Trump's going to win. Just like he won in 2020, he's going to win. And they're panicked. And one of the reasons they're panicked, I think they have some splaining to do, right? Think they have some splaining to do, as they would say on Lucille Ball show. Derek, just a question, and I don't want to focus too much on January 6th because you're running and you're looking to the lived experience of the American people and particularly the folks in West Virginia, one, and also the future. But do you believe we've been in power in the House since January of 2023? Do you believe we should have reconstituted the January 6th committee and actually have a real committee, give the Democrats a ranking member like Jamie Raskin, give them a counsel like we've done Watergate, like we did Iran-Contra, like we've done every major committee of investigation in this and oversight in this country? Do you believe that Congress should have done that?
Oh, yeah. I've been calling for that since day one. I think most people in the January 6th community have been asking for that. And look, I'm just going to be clear. You know, the January 6th Sham Committee members, they should be shackled right now, facing a jury for charges of treason against our country, alongside of Fauci and Mayorkas, all these people. It's time for Republicans to grow a backbone, stop playing patty cake politics, and start playing some hardball. But absolutely, there needs to be an actual investigation into this, because the real criminals were sitting on that January 6th Sham Committee. They deleted evidence. They've destroyed evidence. They've hidden evidence, all to paint this false narrative to come after President Trump, and they need to be held accountable for that.
Now, Derek, the media is going to, mainstream media is going to be in full meltdown right now. Poor Nicole Wallace, you know, she's going to have to curl up in the fetal position because you're hurting her feelings. I take it your opponent is not where you are on some of these topics. Am I correct in assuming that?
That is 100% correct. Once again, this is an R plus 23 district. Whoever wins the Republican primary wins the general election. Look, my primary opponent, she's refused to endorse President Trump. She's voted to send all of her money to Ukraine. She supported all the lockdowns. She brought Bill Gates here to West Virginia to help him roll out his Green New Deal and his agenda of that. It's absolutely ridiculous. She votes for all these omnibus bills, such as the, you know, funding abortion. The most recent one helped to fund the transgender movement. This is absolutely, like, I call her a rhino, but really, to be honest with you, she's an undocumented Democrat. That's what we're dealing with right now.
Okay, but how did then people, you don't have a more patriotic or better district in this country than West Virginia 1. Like you said, it's R plus 23. I mean, that is MAGA and it's Trump country. How did they elect her in the first place? I mean, this just didn't come out of, it's not like a summer thunderstorm, right? It's clearly she's had a record historically of kind of being centrist or center left. How did she get elected?
Well, you know, a lot of times people, it was a crowded primary when she ran the very first time. And so she didn't really get a whole lot of votes to win that very first election. And, you know, most people play the political shell game. They want to sit back and play nice and try to wait their turn and then hope to and just let the incumbent go do whatever they want to do. I don't play those games. And so this is the first time she's had a real challenge since she was elected. And look, we out fundraised her in the fourth quarter of 2023. Pretty sure we just out fundraised her again in this quarter. We raised, I don't know, about $350,000 this quarter alone. So we're really excited right now, and we're excited to give a real challenge and give the people in Southern West Virginia a true conservative option on the ballot.
So what is your pitch to the folks in West Virginia 1, in Southern West Virginia? What is your boom? Here I am. Here's where I stand for it. Here's what I'm going to do.
Well, look, we need to not only defund, we need to abolish these unconstitutional three-letter agencies, which are allowing these unelected bureaucrats to run our country behind the scenes. And we need to return the power back to the states, back to the local communities where it belongs, where there's actual accountability. I'm not going to vote to be raising taxes. It's time to put America first. Let's stop sending money to other countries. If we have enough money to send to other countries, then we need to lower the taxes and send that money back to the American people. But the one promise I make to the people of West Virginia is I tell them all the time that if they're wanting someone who's going to go to D.C., sit in a country club sipping tea, doing absolutely nothing while the left destroys our country, then vote for my opponent, because that's what they have right now. I'm running to kick in the front door and expose the corruption in D.C., and I'm running to because we need to elect President Trump, but he needs some help in there. I want to stand on the national stage beside of President Trump and beat the drum of freedom, not only for Southern West Virginia, but for every single God-fearing conservative across this country. That's what I've been doing. That's what I'll continue to do as a member of Congress.
When you go around the district, what are the folks in the district tell you? What are you hearing from them?
Well, honestly, most conversations, when they find out that I'm the January 6th guy, they say, oh, my God, I didn't know that. I remember that happening to you. That's all I needed to know. I want to vote for you. Or when they find out what our current representative is voting for, they're appalled, honestly. Can't believe it. And once again, we're just picking up votes every single day right now. As more people learn about the campaign, when more people learn what she stands for, what she's voted for, and she's on the record for that. But more importantly, I think that the American people and the people of Southern West Virginia, they're ready for someone who's going to stand up and actually fight back. We need more people like Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene. We need people like that who's going to stand up and fight back instead of being this milquetoast person who wants to just sing kumbaya y'all with the Democrats as they're destroying our country.
How do people find out more about you and more about your campaign, social media, all of it?
Yeah, you can follow me on all social media platforms. They're all different names because I've been banned so many times. So just search for my name on there. But you can go to our website. It's Evans, E-V-A-N-S, 4WV.com. WV is in West Virginia. Evans for WV. Listen, I tell everyone, this is not my campaign. truly, this is the campaign of the American people. If you've ever, and I mean this sincerely, if you've ever wanted to send a message to the deep state, here's your chance to do so. Go over there, donate $10, $20, $30, you know, to our campaign. Help us get this thing across the finish line, because we sent a message to the deep state by helping elect a former January 6th political prisoner into Congress so we can actually go make some changes.
Is the primary is in a couple of weeks, right? When's the primary?
Yeah, it's May 14th. So early voting starts less than a month from now. And then May 14th is the actual primary day. And once again, the primary is the race. Whoever wins our primary wins the race. Look, the cool thing about me and my district, number one, it's a R plus 23. But furthermore is I don't have to worry about what the federal government might do to me. They can't do anything to me that they haven't already done. I don't have to worry about the fake news media. They can't say anything about me that they haven't already said. I can pin my ears back. I can go have fun with this thing. I don't have to walk around on eggshells, tiptoeing around, being afraid of any of those things. I'm going in there on a mission to save this country. President Trump's going to save our country, and he's going to need some help in the process.
What day is debates? When are you going to start debating her?
Listen, I will debate her anytime, any place, any platform, any topic. She will probably refuse to do that. She's refused multiple times to do so, even though we're basically polling even right now in the election, because in the polls. She does not want to have to answer to all of her terrible votes. She knows I'm the type of person who will call her out on those things. But for the record and for the world to know, I will debate her anytime, any place, any platform, any moderator. Actually, Steve, maybe we should get you to do it. It'd be great to do it right here on the War Room.
We would volunteer to do that if she would debate you. Anyway, Derek, great to have you on here. We will stay on top of this race and see what turns out.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. And thank you to everybody in the War Room posse in the chat. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Parading and picketing on the biggest manhunt in history. Biggest manhunt in history. That's the way they brag about it. Biggest, they round up 1,000, they got another 1,000 to go. The January 6th committee should have been reconstituted immediately upon what the 118th Congress taking place, and they should have reconstituted and given the Democrats all the rights as a minority party that the Republicans have had. They should have had a ranking member, and they should have had a minority council, just like it should have been constituted the first time. And that means you get all the witnesses, you get all the evidence, you get everything. You're able to cross-examine. Do you think Cassie Hutchinson and that crowd have been up there spewing all those lies and misinformation if they had a chance to be cross-examined? Do you think that would have happened? You would have had something actually meaningful, like came out of the other committees that struck the American people so profoundly over our history. A complete, as they say in the Navy, a complete gun deck. This should have been, we shouldn't have to be sitting there pleading with people like Johnson and McCarthy in this crowd to do it. What are they hiding? Why didn't this come up? We could have started to put this in back of us, but no, once again, it's going to be President Trump. We're going to have to wait till November and then reconstitute in January. We're going to do that. I understand that the progressive left and the Uniparty, they hate every time we talk about it. We're talking, 2020 was stolen. The catastrophic consequences of the steal are all over us. It's obvious. And we're going to set that right, not just with the victory in November, but actually to start to hold people accountable based upon empirical evidence. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Go check it out today. Gold near another all-time high. Talk to Philip Patrick and the team. Short commercial break. Back in a moment.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. DoneWithDebt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer. And taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done With Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done With Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
You know, our next guest is going to talk to us about fear and redemption and all that. One thing, we're in tax season. I want to make sure. I know people are freaked out in this economy by two things. One is the credit card debt, and the other is taxes. If you haven't filed properly, or the IRS thinks you haven't filed properly, or if you're behind, you haven't filed at all, just like the credit cards. Do not let this fear or the anxiety turn into fear and become crippling. And it's just a process. Take a deep breath. It's just a process. That's why go to taxnetworkusa.com/Bannon to get your discount if you decide to sign them up. But have them walk. They have a simple form. See if you are something that makes sense for them to represent, someone that makes sense to represent. But people that haven't filed or filed incorrectly or have got letters from the IRS, remember, those agents they're hiring are not there to go after the wealthy. The wealthy have great tax accountants. They have great tax lawyers, right? They're prepared to fight. They come to fight, and hey, every one of these rich people look as their IRS, they're filing as their opening bid, and they're prepared to defend it toughly, very toughly. You don't have that luxury, but make sure you go to taxnetworkusa.com today, TNUSA.com, I guess it is, TNUSA.com. Go check it out. Talk to those people first and stop worrying. Nothing to worry about. It's just a process. But get engaged in the process. You can't look away. You can't put it in the drawer and think it's going to go away. It ain't going to go away. The 2020 campaign, talked about that earlier. Look, I'm mad about it. The thing was stolen, no doubt about it. It's obvious. Empirical evidence is overwhelming. So President Trump's on his way to win the third time, and they're going to still try to steal it. So we're going to have to deal with that. We know that. In his second term, Tim Murtaugh was the comms director on the 2020 campaign, worked with our former co-host and great buddy, Jason Miller, who was on the other day, wrote an incredible book, Swing Hard in Case You Hit It. I noticed this. I'd known Tim for a long time, but I never put two and two together. I was watching, I'm a huge Pittsburgh Pirates fan from when I was a very little kid. I had a teacher in 1960 who was a Pirates fan and let us listen to the World Series on the radio. I think it was in kindergarten, right? I was in kindergarten. And became a huge Pirates fan. And I see Murtaugh, I'm watching some, I see Murtaugh, it's Danny Murtaugh's being put into the Hall of Fame for the Pittsburgh Pirates, the great manager. And I see Tim there, and I said, man, that guy looks like Danny Murtaugh. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, hey, he's Danny Murtaugh's son or grandson. Tim Murtaugh joins us. Tell us about your grandfather. This book's amazing because it talks about the Trump campaign. It also talks about your struggles. But tell me about your grandfather. You come from an extraordinary, you come from one of the great families in this country that have really been It's central to the national pastime. Talk to us about your grandfather and your dad.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate that. I know that you and I did talk about this once a long time ago. And my grandfather played 9 years in the major leagues as a second baseman for the old Boston Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies and a little while for the Pittsburgh Pirates. But he was better known as the manager of the Pirates for all or part of 15 seasons between 1957 and 1976. And he won the World Series as the manager of the Pirates twice, the one that you're referencing, 1960, which was one of the most famous World Series ever, with Bill Mazeroski hitting a home run in the bottom of the ninth to beat the mighty Yankees in the bottom of the ninth of Game 7. It's the only World Series that ever ended on a home run in the bottom of the ninth of Game 7. And that one swing got Maz in the Hall of Fame, as a matter of fact. And then he won the World Series again in 1971 over the, and that, you know, there you go, that's me with him, when I was about two. That was in 1971, the second World Series year. And probably the best player he ever had was a fellow by the name of Roberto Clemente, who I'm sure you remember well as a Pirates fan. He had Willie Stargell and Mazeroski. Those were the three Hall of Famers that he had. But he was always up against the big market teams and everything, and that was at a time where little markets could compete with the big markets. And I'm afraid it's really not that way anymore. But it was great. It was a great way to grow up as a kid, having Grandpa run a Major League Baseball team. It was really pretty awesome. I'm the oldest of six grandchildren.
Now, the Roberto Clemente was my hero, and what a great man and a giving man, a great ball player, never bragged, just did his business, Hall of Famer, and then, of course, gave his life down in a mission about, I guess, I think it was an earthquake or a hurricane or something that he gave his life for. Earthquake, giving aid, just one of the great individuals that ever played the game. So two great men. Your dad was also a ball player. But the power of this book, you've had a bumpy road. And what's amazing is you interweave it with the story of the Trump campaign, because the issues you had, you don't want to have in a, because these campaigns are pressure cookers, particularly President Trump is never has the money to pay, you know, it's always thinly staffed, right? So the pressure's on nonstop. Tell us about your story.
Well, thank you for this opportunity, Steve. I really appreciate it. The subtitle of the book, and here it is again, you showed the graphic, it's Swing Hard in Case You Hit It. And the subtitle is My Escape from Addiction and Shot at Redemption on the Trump Campaign. And it's really unlike any political book that I would think a lot of your viewers have ever read. It's about politics and mostly the 2020 campaign. But the other half of the book is about my decades-long struggle with alcohol. And it took me a really, really, really long time to get there, to be able to kick it. And May 16th, 2015 is my sobriety date. And if you think about the timeline there, so I have an arrest record. I got a couple of DUIs and I have a handful of arrests that are like drunk in public or public intoxication, more minor offenses. But I woke up in jail on that day, my sober date, May 16th, 2015. I had gone out and gotten drunk again. And I went from waking up in jail to flying on Air Force One with President Trump in less than 4 years. And this is the story that I tell. And I wrote it really for one main reason. I went to rehab a bunch of times, 5 times inpatient rehab and 1 time outpatient rehab. And every time I was there, I went to the bookstore and I would just devour all the titles that were more autobiographical in nature, where there were people telling their own stories about everything that they went through as alcoholics or drug addicts and how they made it through. And those books really helped me while I was in there and while I was really struggling. And so when I finally managed to triumph over alcohol, I decided I wanted to write a book like that. And the thing is, if an alcoholic who is still struggling picks up my book and just flips through it for like 10 minutes, and in that time doesn't pick up a drink for that period of 10 minutes, then it was worth writing. And that will mean a lot to me. And a lot of people have, I find out that the problem of substance abuse and addiction is pretty much universal, as far as I can tell, because everyone I have talked to since this book came out, it just came out on Tuesday, but everyone I have talked to has said that either they or someone in their family has had a problem.
Tim, what was the cathartic moment? I mean, you woke up in jail, but it's not the first time you've been in jail, not the first time you've been drunk. What was it about that morning? What was it about that time waking up that was different that led you to the path of sobriety?
Yeah, that's a pretty insightful question because it wasn't the first time. What was different about it was at that time, I was on probation for my second of two DUIs, and I had served 10 days as in jail for that second DUI, but I still had 80 days of suspended time hanging over my head. My sentence was 90 days. I served 10, 80 days suspended, and I was on probation for 3 years. If I screwed up alcohol-related in that three-year period of being on probation, I was going to have to go back and serve the 80 days. So one day, May 16th, 2015, as it turns out, I was still on probation. I went out and got drunk, and like happened a number of times before, I got arrested. And when I say I woke up in jail, actually what I did was I came to in jail, because that's what I did in those days. I sort of just, you know, opened my eyes and there I was. I wasn't sleeping. I was passed out. And I realized, oh man, am I in trouble now? If I get convicted of this one, I'm going to jail for those 80 days. And at the time I was working for Lou Barletta in Pennsylvania on Capitol Hill, a congressman from Pennsylvania. I was going to lose my job. You can't go to jail for 3 months and keep your job. So I was going to lose that job and forget about the job. I was going to lose my career. I was newly married. I was probably going to lose my wife. My family was about fed up with me. And so I got some really great advice. I went and I did about 100 hours of volunteer work at an animal shelter. I had the ignition interlock device put on my car. I went to rehab yet again to an outpatient program. I went to, I don't know, 100 AA meetings and got someone to sign a slip. And I went to court and, you know, working with my lawyer and the prosecutor, I said, look, I'm really serious. I'm up against it here. I can't do this anymore. And they agreed not to prosecute on that drunken public charge. And so I didn't violate probation. And that was it. That was the last day. I never had another drink. I mean, what did it for me finally? It wasn't 6 times in rehab. It was fear. You were just talking about fear. I was scared. I was going to lose everything professionally and personally if I didn't stop right that minute. And so that's what I did. Not everybody's story is the same. This is not a how-to manual. This will not teach you how to get sober. It's just my story, and people can maybe find some elements in it that relate to their own lives.
these 16 was a pressure cooker, the 16 campaign. 20, I think, might have been even more of a pressure cooker, given everything that was happening around the country, the color revolution, which we're going to talk about next hour about in Israel. The color revolution was going on, the hatred of President Trump, the pandemic. How did, with all that pressure, how did you sit there and go, man, particularly with the Trump campaign, how it was going, how did you sit there and say, man, I need a good stiff drink?
You know, I just to sort of make light about it. Like I would say, boy, back when I was drinking, man, this would be one of those days, boy. And, you know, it's like people have different tools and different things that they can use and lean on if it gets to be a problem. Like, in, you know, Washington, D.C. is a drinking town. There are tons and tons of people who drink a lot, and there's receptions all over the place, right? And I just develop a line. Everybody has something like this that they can fall back on, in alcoholics, that is. And if somebody offers me a drink and they're more persistent about it and say, oh, no, really, take one, I'll just say, man, there's not enough alcohol here for me. You know, if I get started, you guys will run out. And, you know, so that won't be good for anybody. So I better not. So I don't know. I just use little mechanisms by that. But the Trump campaign, by 2020, it had been 5 years since I had taken my last drink, if I'm doing the math correctly. So May 2015 to 2020. And, you know, it just is one of those, I was able to say, fear is what got me off of it in the first place. But then I was able to just say, like, if I walk past a tray of donuts, you know, I'm not going to just grab a donut. That's not one that I don't do that. That's not me. I don't just grab a donut and eat it. And I was able to develop the same sort of reflexive response to drinking. Like, that's just not what I do. I don't do that. I used to do that. And, you know, I guess I had my fun and I didn't need to go back. I tell you, I know how awful life was. I went to jail enough times. I didn't need to do it again. So. That's what did it for me.
You know, President Trump, it's known that he doesn't drink, but one of the great tragedies, you know, his brother, who he loved,
yes,
had a drinking problem.
Yeah,
and he'll tell you, he saw it up close and personal. It's one of the reasons he's never had a drink. It's just, it's very powerful.
Yeah.
Very personal.
And I got to tell I appreciate the president.
Go ahead.
I appreciate it. I told everybody in advance about my problems in the past. And because there were people shopping around my arrest record to the media. Thank God we tried to keep those stories out of the paper, and we were able to do that. Media didn't write it. They agreed that it was in the past. But people were trying to use it against me. And I told the president and his team about my history before I got hired. And, you know, the word came back, you know, the president loves a good comeback story. He loves a good redemption story. And the word about his brother, he blames alcohol for the death of his brother, which undoubtedly is true. And I'm very grateful for President Trump to give me the chance to do that. And it's all in this book. You know, if you're looking for, if people are in the media are thinking this is a tell-all, one of the other bash Trump books, no way. Working for President Trump on the 2020 campaign is the highlight of my professional career, and it will always be that. And I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Where do they get the book, and where do they track you down? Where do they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Tim Murtaugh, and the book is available anywhere you can find books. Amazon.com is where I would direct people. Just search for my name, Tim Murtaugh, or the title, Swing Hard, in case you hit it. Even if you type Swing Hard, it'll pop up. But it's also available at Barnes & Noble and Target and Walmart and anywhere you can find books. It's out in hardback, and also Kindle is available as well. I really appreciate the opportunity. Swing Hard, in case you hit it, Steve.
Tim.
Thanks.
Tim, you're a good man, and your grandfather is one of the greatest ever in the great sport of baseball. So thank you so much for coming on.
Kind words, Steve. Thank you very much.
President Trump, how about that? I love a comeback story. What a classy guy. Absolutely classy. How many politicians would do that? Most of them say, no, get that guy out of here. We're going to get some bad publicity. We're going to get a bad media day. President Trump's a honey badger. He doesn't give a hoot. Short break, back in the warm in just a moment.
Now that we are launching into the general election season, Patriot Mobile wants to celebrate with a very special offer, just in case you haven't made the switch to Patriot Mobile today. Until March 31st, you can get a free month of service. That's a free month of service when you switch to Patriot Mobile. All you need to do is stop procrastinating and go to patriotmobile.com/Bannon. That's patriotmobile.com/Bannon, and use the offer code SPRING24. That's patriotmobile.com/Bannon, and use the offer code SPRING24. That's it. It's that easy. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the progressive left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message, just like you all did on Super Tuesday, that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. The Patriot Mobile team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Remember, Patriot Mobile has 100% U.S.-based customer service. Get your free month of service and get it today. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. For the free month of service, put in the code SPRING24. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. SPRING24. When you make the switch, you get the free month. Or you can call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, welcome back. Next hour, Yoram Hazani is going to join us from Jerusalem, and we're going to talk about this expanding war, the metastasizing war in the Middle East, not being covered appropriately, and I don't even think we're doing a good job. I'm trying to do better. We're going to have him on because right now, tactically, the Israelis are winning. Right, tactically, but strategically, I don't think so. And I think this thing is getting darker every day. The Persians are on the march over there. We have to understand that if there was no Israel, there's no Israel. No Israel, no Jews in the Middle East. The mullahs in Persia, because that's what it is, Persia. Stop calling it Iran. It's Persia. It's the ancient enemy of the West from time immemorial. They hate the United States of America. We're not looking for a fight over there. Like I said, I was a young man, as a young naval officer. I was in the North Arabian Sea. Why? I was a Grundy, I was an ensign, or as a JG on a destroyer because we were over there for the Iranian hostage crisis. We didn't ask for that, right? Those are the 444 days of captivity before President Reagan, another strong leader, came onto the scene. This thing in the Middle East is bad. We're going to get Yoram on here. And one of the things you see, and this is what they did with President Trump in 2020, the color revolution. Darren Beatty, Raheem Kassam have done a magnificent job of laying out what a color revolution is and how it was pulled on us, on MAGA, and on President Trump in 2020. Remember the Summer of Love? Remember it started up in Minnesota, but in Minneapolis, the Summer of Love, remember that? That was all part of a color revolution to drive President Trump from office, not the incident itself, but the way that that was manipulated and other things that were done to drive President Trump from office, to steal the 2020 election. And yes, they stole it. Stolen elections have catastrophic consequences, and you can see it already. They're not even running on their record. They don't even want to talk about the record. They don't want to talk about Bidenomics. They banned that. They've even banned that phrase on their own side from being used. And Mark Elias is all panicked now, is all worried. Nicole Wallace, look at her every day. The tension and pressure, because they know they're losing. They know they're losing. You add in the third party candidates, they're getting desperate because they understand Bobby Kennedy, probably 75% or 80% of the votes he pulls, maybe even higher, are all Democrats. You throw in Dr. Cornel West, you throw in Jill Stein at the Green Party. They're losing. They're losing, and they know they're losing. And that means they're more dangerous than ever. They're more dangerous than ever. You corner an animal. You corner an animal. That's when it gets dangerous. I'm not calling them animals. They're like animals, and they're dangerous. And the closer they get to defeat on election day, oh, remember, we're the big anti-democracy party, except we understand that democracy is made about certifiable chain of custody votes from American citizens, not the crap they do. Mike Lindell, you've done more than anybody in this country to stand up for. They tried to bankrupt you. They tried to fire your employees. They've tried every way, the IRS. They've cut you off all of big box, Walmart. The guys at Walmart are the most Darwinian when it comes to when you're in a Walmart, every square inch they analyze for return on investment, on operating income. Every inch. They're moving stuff around. That is the most analytical company in retail, I think, in the world. Yep. The MyPillow, Lumpy Pillows, were the most profitable line they ever had, and they tossed him. They tossed him, right?
And that was in Walmart's
What does that tell
history.
You? What does that tell you?
Yeah. The number one buy through in Walmart history was MyPillow, and they got rid of us. And that was their number one $60 buy through in history, and their number one $50 buy through. You got to realize we've sold about right around 84 million MyPillows now. And all these box stores in the country, it was their number one seller. All the shopping channels, the QVCs of the world, their number one product ever. But they chose to cancel MyPillow because their CEO wanted to secure our elections and help get to paper ballots hand counted and knew something was wrong in the 2020 election. And I never stopped talking about it. And, well, their loss is a War Room Posse's gain. As you see, it's been a great day for me at MyPillow. I flew in. All of our new products just came in. Ships came in. Here's the bathrobe I'm wearing, you guys. Those are the $39 out open box ones. These are $100 and some, $39 for the War Room Posse. But here's the special of the day, everybody. The slides came in, these slides and sandals, and all these that came in, we got, I don't know, upwards of, I think, 50,000 of them. And these are made with the impact gel, which is a proprietary, it's actually patented. It's an impact gel made out of soybeans. You wear these sandals, it's like walking on a cloud. Well, they ship the wrong color, one of the wrong colors, so we have the white ones. The factory, they're going to let us liquidate them to the War Room Posse for $9.50 a pair. Okay, only the white, $9.50 a pair. There's no limit. When they're gone, they're gone. This is to the War Room Posse exclusive. You guys take advantage.
Hold it. What's the matter with the white slide? What's the matter? We may even wear them around here in the War Room.
There's nothing wrong with them. But they shipped us all the different colors. But we've got three times more white than we have of the other color we wanted, which was gray. So this is like an overstock sale. We want to sell them equally. So they've allowed it. I believe it's a little over 10,000 of them that they said we'll sell them off and we equal out the colors again and. Because I called, I said, "Hey, we're kind of lopsided here on colors." But yeah, no, the people will love it. And I'll tell you, there's no more comfortable sandal than the MyPillow sandals. So the other ones are all on sale for $25. We're gonna clear out the white ones to bring them down to the levels. The other ones for $9.50. And you guys, we have. You guys take advantage of that $25 sale. If you go to the website, you're going to see the last of the robes there. And there's the six-piece towel sets, $25 for the six-piece towel sets. Lowest price in history. Here's the one you guys have all been buying, the $25 premium MyPillows. That's the one we were just talking about with Walmart, with their number one product in history of the MyPillow. $25, king or queen, everybody. Remember, this is Walmart's $60 price. They were $60 in Walmart. Here they're $25 to you. Like I say, their losses, you guys gain. Two of the MyPillows, don't forget the Roll and Go Anywhere pillows, two for $25, everybody. So thank you all for
MyPillow.com promo code WARM. MyStore.com promo code WARM. 800-873-1062. Tell the operators we got their back. We're not going to let the IRS shut them down. Next, we're going to Israel. Also, Joe Hoff's going to join us. We're going to talk about President Trump's trial, this phony trial in mid-April in New York City. You're going to get all the background. He's a forensic accountant. From Gateway Pundit, don't want to miss that. Birchgold.com, promo code Bannon. Go check it out today. Gold near another high. Back in a moment in the War Room.
I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11. Shortly after, the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to RickardsWarRoom.com. That's RickardsWarRoom.com now to see the video.
Code War Room at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.